Welcome to Alive and Remain Ministries. Please stay tuned for the next half hour as prophecy forecaster Pastor John Massey Jr. imparts absolute biblical truth concerning end times. No sensationalism, no spiritualization, no contradictions. Finally, answers that are biblically right. Now, here is your host, Pastor John Massey Jr.
The magnitude of heaven is incomprehensible. I don't understand it, but I believe it. I believe it about heaven. I believe it about hell. I want to be able to see afar off. And that's faith. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. When I look here, comparatively, Demas, Paul's companion, Demas, he was in prison, he was incarcerated, he was whipped, he was beaten, he was persecuted with Paul. But pride, the love of the world towards the end. As I told you, the Bible says Solomon, when he was old, devil had the hook in him, he was reeling in man. Devil has the hook, he's reeling us in. He's reeling us in. And when I say he's reeling us in, you know who this applies to. Slowly, gradually, that's how deception occurs. It's got to feel right. It's got to feel right. You've got to think it's right. You've got to be convinced. And one of the things you do, you must alienate everybody else away from you. The devil must isolate us. And yet the Bible says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. But he makes you alienate yourself. Now you're full of pride. In the multitude of counsel, there's safety. Now alienate. And they've come up with this new theology. Notice I said theology, because theology is nothing more than a philosophical or intellectual study of the word of God. And that's why it's theology. You can throw it out. Most of theology isn't any good. But new theology is, well, I got my personal relationship with God. Yes, you better have one. But that doesn't cancel out God's counsel. Obey them that have rule. That doesn't cancel that out. I can go to Jesus for myself. Yes. But the Bible tells us, confess your faults, your sins one to another. Be subject one to another. That doesn't cancel all that out. But that's that new theology. You can go in your room and talk to Jesus. New theology. Cancel out everything else. How can they hear without a preacher? Doesn't matter how many corrupt preachers are out there, God still has good ones. Well, all preachers are like this and all preachers are like that. Well, you can't judge and condemn all preachers. That's because one saint sinned, all saints are sinners. See, but they never think like that because the devil won't let them think like that. See, afar off here, I have forgotten about his old sins. Jesus, I'll never forget what you've done for me. Never. Don't you ever forget. Wherefore, the rather brethren give, there you go, negligence, constant effort to accomplish that which has been undertaken. Constant. I've got to work at it. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. I've got to work at it. Got to bring my body in this objection. The body doesn't want to cooperate. So I've got to constantly win this battle. Body, you are my slave, not my master. It's an ongoing battle. Body, you are slave, and you will not dictate to me. Everyone is, they define by categorizing themselves as being enslaved to their body or being the master over their body. And very few people master over their body. We let anything come out of this body, come out of this mouth. We say foolishness that God is judging us for, because the Bible said, thy words shall thou be justified, and by thy words thou wilt be condemned. Pride, you know when pride is. Listen, this is typical pride. in the church, out of the church, around the church, under the church, over the church, etc. I don't want nobody to tell me what to do. And everyone that says that is a liar. It's subjective. That means I only want certain people to tell me what to do. They'll go to the doctor in a minute. Go to the attorney in a minute. Go to the banker in a minute. Go to the mortgage broker in a minute. They'll tell you what to do. When you go into that supermarket, you don't go in that supermarket and make your own rules. I'm going to take everything I want, put in a shopping bag. I'm going to go home and send them a check. No, you're going to do what they tell you to do. Just say, I'm not checking out now. I have integrity. I got good credit. I'm taking this home, and I'll send you a check in the mail. See how we just lie? Go down there. This generation that we live in, of retail people, I can't stand it. They call, you can be 100 years old and they'll call you by your first name. When I was a kid, sir, ma'am, yes, no. No, they don't say that. They treat you like your little kid. John, they burn me up when they call me. A little 17-year-old thing called me John. My parents taught me better than that. You say, Mr. Massey, Mr. Williams, Mrs. Williams. John, well, you let them folks, you give them folks all your personal business. You tell them how old you are. They write down your history. The doctor sent a little Mickey Mouse nurse in there. How long have you had this sickness? You volunteer information they don't even need because you're scared. Somebody asks you, well, how are you doing? Well, I'm doing well. You know you're lying. You're not doing well. You need all the prayer you can get. Number pride. I don't want them people in church knowing my business. The world knows your business. We can pick it up on the computer and find everything we want to find out about you. There's no confidentiality in here. With the internet, we can find out everything about you. Every time you've been to the doctor, we can find it out. It's all public records.
Yeah, I want the people in the church to know what my business. They talk.
But what does the world do? They talk too. Pride. Pride means I'm selective. I don't want saved people to know what I'm doing. Because saved people get in your business. Good, and thank you, Jesus. Please stay in my business. No. They talk too much, and they tell this one. But what do you think folks do? They talk. It's a part of life. The disciples talked. The apostles talked. Everybody talks. The devil talks. You talk. And those people like that are the ones that the devil has isolated them for destruction. They don't realize. They're unstable. They're double-minded. Paranoid. All types of mental abnormalities. And they don't want to be healed here. Those are the ones that really need a psychiatrist. You need some medication. You don't want to take the healing balm from God's word. Pride won't let you. Say, put some diligence in your life. And there you go. This is what I need you to see. Make your calling and election sharp. The song says, in times like these, we need a savior. Times like these, we need an anchor. But be what? Your what? Your anchor holds. Now listen, I'm realistic. I'm going to keep saying it until you repent, get right with God. If you died right now, died this second, this moment, where are you going to go? You know. And no ifs, ands, and buts about it. I'm not sure. You know. No soul shall. If you died now, not tomorrow, not an hour, not after altar call, right now in your seat, where would you go? Why would God say, well done? Why would he say, well done? What reasons have we given God to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Problem with us, too many of us, our lives are still about ourselves. Me, myself, and I. And yet we're supposed to die out. Die out to ourselves. Turn back with me to chapter 17 of the Gospel according to Luke. Verse number 6, quickly, please. And the Lord said, if ye have faith as a grain of a mustard seed, ye might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey. Now, wait a minute. Every problem any of us have, that faith encompasses it. Every problem. This faith transcends every problem, just faith. But you see, the grain of a mustard seed, the disciples were rebuked and they were exhorted because they had little faith. Once you take the mustard seed, it must begin to maturate or grow. You can't have the same faith you had when you first gotten saved. It's growth. It's maturation. So, oh, I don't know what's wrong. I have faith of a grain of a mustard seed. You had that 20 years ago. Now, where's your faith now? Where is your faith now? It must grow. One of the things that prideful Job said, and he really had faith, even though he was wrong. He said, though he slay me, and it wasn't God, it was the devil. Job was, there was another one like him. The devil had him thinking that it was God that was punishing him. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Do you know what that means? It doesn't matter how worse my life gets. Now, wait a minute, let's put it in context. He had lost all of his material possessions. He had lost all his sons and daughters, 7 sons and 3 daughters, I think it was 10 funerals one day, and his health had deteriorated beyond comprehension. He said, remember King Hezekiah had one boil, and God sent the prophet Isaiah to tell him that he wasn't going to recover off his bed from one boil. Job had boils over his entire body. He said the only place he did not have a boil was on the skin of his teeth. So excruciating the pain was that he would break pottery and he would just scrape himself trying to get some relief. So now that's the context. When he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I don't think any of us, our plight, our circumstances, our situation is comparable with Job. And yet he said, I'm going to hold on. And every problem we have, we allow the devil to amplify it in our minds to make it worse than it is. We amplify it to the point that we have our hands. Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow, looking back, ready to give up, ready to quit. Every time something doesn't happen within our time frame, we're discouraged, ready to run. And there's no place to run. Ready to quit. And the Bible talks about endurance. It says the righteous shall hold on to his way. And he that have clean hands shall grow stronger and stronger. Not weaker, but stronger. What we're looking for is a good report. Faith right there produces a good report. In fact, elders say for by it the elders say we lead by faith a good report. We illustrate for you what faith is. He said, faith is a grain of a mustard seed. But which of you having a servant plowing or feeding cattle out in the field will say unto him by and by when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat. Now, wait a minute. Said a servant has been toiling all day long. And watch what the Lord is saying here. All day long he's been laboring for the master. And will he not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Now, wait a minute. He said, now, if servants in this world honor their masters like that, that after they have toiled all day long and they come into the field and their master says to them, or their owner say, look, fix me something to eat. And after I have eaten and drunk, and in spite of how tired and debilitated, then you eat. So he's saying, if servants in this world could honor their masters to that extent, how much more should we be willing to honor God in servitude? Doth he thank that servant because he did those things that were commanded him? I trow not. Jesus said, do you think that that servant gets a special recognition for waiting on his master or accommodating his master and facilitating his master? Do you think the master says, oh, you're a precious servant. Say you're blessed. No, he said that was his duty as a servant. So likewise, when you shall have done all those things that were commanded you, say, we are. What are you, elder? I'm an unprofitable servant. Tell yourselves that you're an unprofitable servant, and you won't murmur and complain because it's your duty. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Say, Lord, nobody else would do it. I had to do it. That's all right. It's duty. Nobody's helped me. It's still duty. Nobody understands. It's still duty. You'll never, ever complain if you grasp the concept. It's duty. There was a phrase years ago. I was trying to figure out something about the scriptures. I couldn't understand. I didn't understand about what a precept was. And yet the Bible tells us that the word of God was unto us precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little was the word of God. And took a little while, some years, maybe 10 years, 10, 12, 13 years. I've asked people about it. No one can give me an explanation. And finally, I would hear a preacher here, hear a preacher there. And I've always tried to prove, or should I say, tried to, I don't want to say justify, tried to solidify, should I say, what I believe to be true by listening to other preachers and asking them questions. Everything that I believe, don't you think for one second it all came to me as I sat down and started reading. No, Baptist, Methodist, Jehovah's Witness, everybody had something to do with this here. Apostolics, Pentecostals, Trinitarians, Notarians, everyone. I had to stand on the shoulders of all of them, but I've asked God to buffer everything that I wouldn't be deceived. And what I will do is, when I was much younger, I couldn't wait to get a bunch of ministers around. I'm ready for the test. And I put some information, some doctrines out there because I knew that they, and I always want to talk to people that were sharp. Put it out there, man, and I'll test it there and test it here and test it there. So finally, I was trying to understand about judgment, how God judges us. And a precept is nothing more than a general rule. A general rule. So for instance, the precept is the speed limit is 65 miles an hour and you cannot drive less than 40 miles an hour. That's the general rule. It's a precept. It means it's a general rule. Now, if there's a snow emergency and there's ice, you will not be held accountable for driving 20 or 15 miles an hour. You won't get a ticket. Why? Because it's a precept. If there's an ambulance coming down and it's an emergency, or you have an emergency in the car and you're driving 70, 75, and you can justify that, well, you won't be penalized because it's a precept depending on the circumstances. That's why the Bible says where much is given. You can always look at another church and say, wait a minute, that church isn't doing this and they're not doing that. No, it's by precept. Where much is given, much is required. Hebrews 4 and 12, if you please. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow. And here it goes. You know what you're hearing this morning? It's a discerner. Everything you've heard me say, it's a discerner of the thoughts and what you're going to do with what you heard. And intents of the heart. everything you heard. That's why the Bible says we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things we've heard, lest at any time we let them slip. Why? Because here's the precept. Now remember, some will understand 100-fold, some will understand 60-fold, some will understand 30-fold, because it's the same word, but it's by precept. It's the same word, but it's by precept. And that's what God is judging right there. See that last word, heart? Heart, God knows what's in your heart. He knows what 5 talents is, what 4 talents, what 3, what 2, what 1 is. God knows what's in the heart. And the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart. That means that your conscience is clear before God. If we had to stand before God right now to have a clear conscience, we would have to say in good conscience, that, Lord, I've done the best I could do. Now, how many of us could say, I've done the best that I could do? And that's all God wants. Nothing more than your best. That's all he wants. Just your best. Now, to give God your best requires something that we don't want to do. It's called sacrifice. We don't hear that today except if you're going to give some money. Sacrifice. And Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your duty. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies. You won't hear folks talking about present your bodies. That means give yourself over to God, a living sacrifice. You won't hear that. Only way you hear anyone talk about it is probably a missionary. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. So wait a minute, if this John the Baptist, he's comparing him with someone else, with those that have been born. That's a comparison. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of God, heaven, which is church, is greater than he. Now, John the Baptist was born with the Holy Ghost. I don't think any of us was born the Holy Ghost here. Is that right? All right. Don't be a heretic here. Chapter 12. Now, the men of Nineveh shall rise. Who is speaking? Jesus. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and condemn it. Now, wait a minute. He's talking about a past generation and a present generation, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas or Jonah is here. He said, now I'm going to make a comparison. See, that generation repented because Jonah preached. He said, I'm greater than Jonah. He said, they are going to condemn. So he's making a comparison. He's making a judgment, a comparative judgment. Stay with me. This is what drives me. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. How many times have God had to deal with us about pride and stubbornness and rebellion and waywardness? How many times? But Jonah responds, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it, preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city, 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter in the city a day's journey. See, when God gets your attention, suddenly he becomes one of the FFFs, one of God's faithful few on fire. See, and a couple of interpretations of this. One, that it took the breadth of the city, was the circumference of it was 60 miles. It'd take you 3 days to go through it. But I think the prevailing interpretation is that the journey normally would take 3 days. Somehow or another, he did it in 1 day. Jonah began to enter into the city in a day's journey and cried and said, yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, let me explain this to you, put it in context. These Assyrians were probably considered, on the largest scale, the worst torturers in the world. Being a Ninevehite, Assyrian was synonymous with torture. No one knew how to torture and abuse like these Assyrians. So anyway, that's what God is dealing with. They were idolaters, everything you could possibly think of. So the people of Nineveh, what these sinners believe God. How can we doubt him? And proclaim a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them. And the word came unto the king of Nineveh and rose from his throne. Now this is the king. And he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Say, the king is repenting. And what God was saying said, just like I destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, said, I'm going to destroy this whole wicked city if you don't change in 40 days. Said, I'm going to give you 40 days. And you know how what God does? God is so patient with us. He just gives us grace. Isn't that right? And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed or drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is at their hand. Time doesn't permit me to talk about them. Who can tell if God, now this is the king, who can tell if God will turn and repent and take away from us his fierce anger that we perish not? As I told you, anyone that is called, anyone that does not get saved, anyone that backslides, that goes to hell, it wasn't because they write a decree, a declaration that they want to go to hell. You have to be deceived to go there.
You've been listening to Pastor John Massey Jr. with Alive and Remain Ministries. To order a copy of this message in its entirety, please call 518-272-6679. That's 518-272-6679. To immediately access this message and others online, visit aliveandremain.podbean.com. That's aliveandremain.podbean.com. Alive and Remain Ministries is a part of the Redemption Church of Christ. Visit on the web, redemptionchurch.net.